going on, everybody? It's your boy, Rail, back with another review, man. Yo, this is Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, Season 3, Episode 8, The Reckoning. Ooh. Spooky title. Ooh. I mean, what got reckoned? Like, one thing this episode? Cool, I'll give it to you. Anyway, y'all know how we coming. But first, salute to the Discord gang, them. I could not link with y'all yesterday because I was getting my hair did. Getting my hair did. Yup. Your boy's B-Day is in a few weeks. February 12th. Shout out to the Aquarius out there. Huh? I couldn't be outside looking crazy. I couldn't be turning up, as they say, with my head all nappy. So that was a must. Apologies. But we will link up next week, Monday, because I've watched some stuff I'm excited to talk about. I've watched Griselda, huh? I like to get into that a little bit. Not about to do a review, calm down, but definitely something worth talking about next Monday. And salute to all those listening on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Guess what I did today? Guess what I did today, guys? I uploaded every missing episode that came to YouTube that didn't make it to Spotify. Did it right before I recorded this. Huh? Huh? You got about 6 to 7 episodes to just run through. So if you was at work and you done went through all your podcasts, huh? You're waiting on something else to drop to get you through that work day through the pods, through the AirPods, your boy just blessed you. You could just go boom, 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 boom. Right down the line. That should get you to lunch. I dropped enough to get you through to lunch. So salute to me for that. I'll thank myself. Don't you worry about it. And of course, you, the viewer watching on YouTube, what's happening? Welcome. We ready to get into this thing? All right, why not? Also, before we get into this thing, I don't know if you see this underneath this video right now, but there's a link to some merch that I dropped. Much more to come later. We got some House of the Dragon stuff I'm working on to drop when it's come out. There's another thing. There's some other stuff I want to review. I think that's, the Spartacus. I got a lot of ideas for future merch this year. 2024 is supposed to be exciting. So it'd be awesome if you'd go ahead and support and just go ahead and buy an overpriced t-shirt, maybe an overpriced hoodie. It is what it is. Oh, yeah. It's up there. But guess what? It goes to your boy. And that'd be appreciated. Much love to y'all. But now, into the episode. Y'all know how I'm about to come. You know how I'm giving it up. Let's go ahead and get through the less desirable storylines first. Let's just wash them out the way. Which, it's only two. It's not even really two. It's really just one. Because we don't have to deal with the Kanan and Famous drama, at least for a while. So, the two buddies breaking up, like all friend groups go through it. When you got a best friend, you just get into it, then life hits you, and you like, man, I want my boy back. Oh, I want my girl back. Like, what? Like, we used to kick it. Like, why did we fall out? So, but do I care about it? No, I don't. So, I guess there's Juke. Juke has the one storyline I could care less about. And I'm probably not alone in that. And it is what it is. She has to serve a purpose. And we know what her future is from watching Power. We know she becomes a police officer. I was hoping they were going to do it in a more creative fashion. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's to come when they do like a fast forward. If we get in multiple seasons, like if there are more seasons to come, like we're going to get young adult Kanan, like when they fast forward this thing, maybe how she actually becomes a police officer might be super intriguing, but we just gotta like get through this to get to the greatness. That's what I'm gonna hold out hope for, right? I'm not gonna kill it. I'm gonna hold out some hope for it. But as it stands, huh? This little TLC group, this SWV, this girl group nonsense, I don't, okay. Let me get this straight. First off, so she gets the lead girl role, right? Best dancer, best singer. Cool. Got a chick there hating on her. Hating on her so much that she's willing to take Bulimic Girl's man, also Juke's cousin, smash him, right? Like, oh, okay. Y'all think y'all doing something? Y'all a little friendly, huh? You taking over the group? I'm going to smash your cousin. I don't know what type of flex that is. Okay, my cousin got you. So, I mean, you only hurt my feelings, my friend's feelings, which I might want to catch a fade over because it's my homegirl. Like, why would you win the same group? You know, a little catty girl stuff. I guess that's a little jab at the group. But Shorty decided to turn it up a notch. Came in, took her lead role. So what did she do? She hired some teenage goons. She hired some hitters with some switchblades to keep Juke from getting to audition in time and maybe losing her newfound role as the lead lady in a girl group that none of us cares about. All right, so I'm like, man, the music industry got nasty. Like, we know we heard these stories about these different, you know, the stuff happening behind the scenes, but girl group beef, I thought it'd be more along the lines of, oh, you know, something to do with a man not taking the lead role, but I can see it. What I couldn't imagine is, because y'all know I'm dumb, right? I could have just watched that and been like, dang, Shorty trying to sabotage Juke. Even trying to get her jumped on the train. She wild for that. Juke got to get her get back when she get up in that audition room. That's probably how a logical person's brain operates. But for any of y'all following me, watching my work, you know my brain is, it's just not regular. Because you know what I was imagining? I was imagining the conversation old girl had in trying to get her friends to jump Juke so she could get the lead role back. I was just curious, like, how did that conversation go? Or were the girls, like, very professional about it? Like, did she go up to them like, look, y'all my homies, like, what if these are her real friends? Like, yo, look, this girl's taking my spot. She trying to eat off our plate, huh? So I want you to catch her. She gets off the train at this time, right? Just be sitting there waiting on the platform for her. Work her over. Huh? Just make sure she don't get there on time. I'm getting us back. I'm bringing us back. Okay? I was like, oh, maybe she went gangster like that. But then I'm like, highly doubt it. Maybe there's another version. Maybe these girls have nothing to do with her and they're professional hitmen, hit ladies, hit teenagers. Huh? And it's like, I could see her running around, scouring the school. Like, yo, who could put some work in for me up in here? Oh, you know, it's the terrible twins over there. The trio. Oh, yeah, they put work in. You just give them a few dollars. They'd poke up anybody you want. So I thought it was hilarious that Juke would get jumped by some chicks because she sings and dances better. But that's on brand for the girl stuff, I guess. I don't know. And with all that, what that looked like to me was, this Juke story is kind of boring. And we really don't care. How can we spice it up? Okay, let's make her friend in the group bulimic and kind of like her, but kind of like Kanan. Let's just put her all over the place. Let's add a love triangle. Nope, love triangle didn't work. Okay. Oh, let's spice it up even more. We tried love. Nobody cares about teenage love triangles. Fair enough. Bunch of adults watching this show. So how about we do this? Let's add some action. Let's have this girl jump her. Yeah, that'll spice up Jukebox's little storyline a bit. It didn't. And we didn't even get to see her really, like, whoop ass like we wanted to. It was just like, we didn't know if she was going to come in on time, and she did. She got right back to work, did a little threat, and pretended like nothing ever happened. And also, she went to go check on to see if she could get out of this whole military thing. Because I think in her brain, this girl group stuff was just for fun. It probably won't come to fruition. But now she's getting the lead. So she wanted to test the waters to see, like, can I back out of this whole military thing if I wanted to? Like, no? Okay. And I think Juke is going into this thing with the realization of, I'm not really going to be a part of this long. I just kind of wanted to see what life could have been. And I would imagine she's not really feeling it. She just wants to prove a point at this point. But with all that being said, I don't care. I don't care. I just don't. But who else is out there? Detective Howard. Everything with My Hot Take is going according to plan. Huh? Detective Burke's father did a random let me apologize for my daughter's shenanigans now that she's dead, like, campaign. I thought that she was finna open up old cases. I thought he's finna open up old cases, see some inconsistencies, see where his daughter was headed, got into her brain and was like, she had a point. This Detective Howard is a little shady. It's some nastiness going on. That's where I thought they was headed. Never once did I think he was looking at her charges that she was getting while she was under investigation and going, well, my daughter's dead, so let me go apologize for her. Like, in case her dying wasn't enough. Huh? As, like, if her taking her own life from all her guilt of the things she did wasn't enough of a penance to the peoples of the victim's family, let me go a step forward and go apologize to the girl who my daughter allegedly was selling drugs to or getting involved with. Okay, that's a different route, but it is what it is. So he goes there and he learns more information. Learns that Detective Howard was the one who put the bug in his ear about the drugs and asked him not to say nothing. And dude was trying to hold down Marvin, which I appreciate. And he asked me not to say. Or no, he wasn't holding down Marvin. He was holding down Detective Howard because he was asked to do something and he did just that. And he doesn't know this dude. And apparently his daughter was a little weird. So I understand his reservation to not want to just jump out there with the info. But that got, so Detective Howard has Burke's dad on his heels. And we know one of two ways that's going to end. He's probably going to get found out. Maybe the father does. Oh, what's a hot take? There's only like two ways it can go. He can be dumb like his daughter, confront Howard with information and threaten him like, hey, I just want to let you know your days are numbered. I'm about to take this up to your superiors. It's over with for you. Because unlike Burke, her father actually has some juice still and probably has a better reputation. So would be actually heard out. Right? Especially with the feds in the building and they can't figure out why nobody in this division is able to arrest Raquel and Marvin. I know the feds is feeling like there's somebody in here working. That's why they don't want to give Howard no information. So it's already that. And then Howard is going to kill him. Like that, like he did his daughter. Like, just take out the family. And the other route is that he tells Burke's ex, like, my daughter was onto it. Okay, I'm about to do X, Y, and Z. Something happens to me. Make sure you take the mantle. Run with it. Only deal with the people you trust. I'm out. So then the father dies still, but not the information. Because the ex-girl, the lawyer or whatever she is, will take it from there. And then Howard will go down with the info that was presented. Or at least investigated and put pressure on, something bad would happen to Howard. But I don't see the father surviving any of this at all. I just don't see it. But I could be wrong. I know one thing. If Detective Howard gets that promotion, it's not going to last long. Or maybe it will. Maybe sometimes dirty people just win in the end. Like, you just get the grimiest one wins. And Detective Howard is working on his own GOAT status. Grimiest of all time. So he's building the resume for that, and he might be unstoppable. I don't know. But that, I mean, is that really a hot take? Like, we can all smell that coming. We just don't know quite how and when and who is dead in his rise or fall. But we know somebody's dying. In that circle of those three. Father, Howard, ex-girlfriend. Cool. Now, the rest of it is the pretty much the meat of the episode. They kind of got us right into it. Raquel is out here doing rock things. She's out here negotiating for more trucks, working out prices. I actually love that scene because as when she's negotiating with the Asian guy about using his trucks and breaking them off a certain percent of money, you have the dude's like brother over there wilding out, breaking all cardinal rules. In any negotiation tactic, when you're talking business, and I mean, it doesn't matter the business. When the first offer comes, you know that that's not the one and only offer, almost 9.8 out of 10. So you know you could probably squeeze for some more or do something like that. And the number one thing you don't do is sound excited about the first offer. Soon as Rock was like, look, I'm going to just be using this little space. You don't get your hands dirty. All the stuff is on me. I break you off 15, 20%, you know what I'm saying? And we both continue business. You make a lot more money. I make some money and we good. Right? While she's busting that down, what you don't do is what Buddy did in the corner. Like, yes, this is the break we needed. Come on, put the money, deal, shake hands. Shake hands right now. Where you going? Don't you run away with that deal. I'm excited. Because that's a sign of weakness. That's a sign that you need her more than she needs you. And in a negotiation, you're trying to make it equitable. Look, I mean something. You mean something. Make it fair. Let's make it where both of us are happy. That's the main level in negotiation. And you got Buddy on the other end like, oh my God. Hey, he doesn't speak for us. He does drugs, like you're not dealing with him. And then he started talking about how he was going to tell on his mom, like crazy stuff. It was an embarrassing negotiation. You had to whoop his ass. For real. You would have to big bro him. Now, in that little thing, what I saw was, because Rock is like, okay. The first thing I noticed was Rock was like, yeah, I'm going to probably end up dealing with the brother. Because why? There was little clues in there to let you know my next hot take is about to happen. When that dude got up and screamed, I own 50% of this. Right? That was clue one. I'm about to give you a hot take. But he owns 50%. Erase the part about his mom. And then him leaving with that anger. Rock looking at him. Side eye being very comfortable. Because he has now put her in a power position. She's like, yeah, there's discourse. We got one that they both own this business equally. So the guy in front of me does not make all the final decisions. He can't. He cannot. He's only half owner. So when he says, look, I need more or no deal, she is more than comfortable getting up saying, okay, no deal. Because what I'm going to do is your drug addicted brother who loved the deal, who owns 50% of this company, I got a feeling that he might be owning 100% of this company real soon. And I think I'd like to deal with him a lot better. You're a shrewd businessman. I don't have time. I'm bored with shrewd businessmen. Over it. Somebody I can manipulate and control, maybe slide a few drugs to here and there that I ain't got to worry about, much rather deal with. So I see Rock coming to him. And then I see dude murdering his brother and making that deal. Now she has all the Chinese food delivery trucks moving work all through South Jamaica, Queens of New York, and getting right where she needs to be. Not much of a hot take. They left those little breadcrumbs. So I 100% see that happening. But what I find funny is, as she is doing all these power moves, making all these promises to these men to get all this stuff done, the biggest problem she runs into is a huge one. Two things. A, she got Lulu crashing out, drunk, screaming about crimes he's committed in front of her house in a very upscale neighborhood where they probably don't even want Rock. Now, here come her drunk brother out here screaming about, what did he just say? You got me killing all these people. What is going on outside? Because I'm that neighbor. Huh? Sometimes when you live in the hood, sometimes, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, one thing is definitely entertaining. There's something always going on outside your window. Outside. And you start hearing some, you like, oh, what was that? Now, y'all gonna probably act like y'all super cool, huh? Stay out the business. Oh, I just keep to myself. I don't see nothing. Boy, I'll be right at the window like, hey, what's going on out there? And then when things get too heated, then you get out the window. Now you move. You're like, oh, whoop, nope. Let me go back here. That doesn't sound, but you're ear hustling, huh? Somebody's always arguing in the hood. So you're gonna be, so if they're doing that, I know that they spicing up that neighborhood. Somebody is listening. I don't know if that's going to come play a part later, but either way, Lou is crashing out and it's bad for Rock. And then I'll get to explaining why I think Lulu's crash out is so bad. It's not the fact that he now wants to quit music and he has absolutely nothing going on. Now he's shooting at random muggers, passing out anywhere, drinking, well, just liters of alcohol. Like, he is a weak link in a chain for Rock, which he doesn't need one. Because Rock is up against it. Rock has promised a lot of things to these people. And now they find out she's got competition. And she ain't even fully set up like she wants. Because she ain't get that deal done with the trucks. So already she ain't putting in with the promises. She needs some more time. And then you got somebody else moving work in her territory. So you ain't got what you promised. And you got competition and you don't know who it is. Only to find out that your competition is your own son. Wow. Now that is a predicament. Because anybody else, Rock would just tool up, get to killing, get to threatening and pressing. But what can you do when it's your son? It's the devil you created. Can't just knock off your son. So she goes through the means. She's going escalating because she can't go to Kanan. She don't even want Kanan to know that she has his information, which is probably the smartest thing Rock did. She did a couple smart things this episode. She really messed up though, but she did a few things. Some things you can live with. So she goes to Snaps and Pops. Okay, the Rice Krispie twins. I don't know. I guess they thought that was a cute couple name. Snaps and Pops. Okay, cool. And she went in there to defend her son and said, hey, stay away from him. I ain't gonna tell you. But she brought too much energy. Snaps and Pops look like some old heads, but they let her know quick. Everything you doing, we did it. And we did it at a larger scale. The little blueprint you follow, whatever, we are the pioneers. Okay? And that's where it's at. So that was a slight threat. And Rock stood on business like, okay, you might have started it, but I'm new school. So we got the whole old generation versus the new generation. Now, my money so far, now I'm not underestimating Rock. She's smart. But as it stands, Rock is in no position to go to war with these people. And that's exactly what's coming because dude might have overlooked it, but he took it personally. And he only took it personal not because she came in talking crazy. He's building himself up to be mad because he knows that he needs her son. And he can't stay away. He knew that if she wasn't down with it, that this would eventually happen. I'm going to have to beef with your mama. What side you going to be on? So he's cutting that line in the sand. He knew it was coming. Right? So set up a war. But what I don't like is, like right now, if I had to make a bet, I'm going to have to bet on Snaps and Pops on the Rice Krispies. I'm going to have to bet on them. They got Ronnie. They got the Enforcer on their side. And I love Marvin. He's the only muscle she's got right now because where is her operation? The buildings ain't been up. She ain't been supplying nobody no money. I don't see her army. She had a squad. If she wasn't killing them off herself, who's her hitters? Her number one hitter is drunk and retired from killing and took up a new profession in drinking. Marvin took over that mantle, doing a great job. But him versus Ronnie, I don't know. And could Kanan sit back and let Ronnie beef with Marvin and him not take Marvin's side? I doubt it. So that's like the one good thing she's got going on. Because other than that, Snaps and Pops got the army. They got the serial killer. They got, they already got the structure. And they got her son. So they have a lot of things going for them. And what Rock doesn't have is, like I said, the army. And she has a weak link in Lou. Because, it, like any war, the soldiers are the one that's going to pay the largest price. Right? Same as in chess as anything else. You got to get through the pawns before you could take down the king. And in this instance, the queen. And right now, Rock's pawns is looking a little soft out there. One of them, her son, is not even on her team. Not even on the same side as the board. He's on the opposite side of the board. So there's only so much she can... She's already limited in moves. Then you get Marvin, who would be her queen in the instance. He could move anywhere. He could do this. He could do the shooting. They also got a psychopath queen and Ronnie, who's going to move that board. But they don't have any visible weak links. She does. Lou will get taken out in this war. They'll either get him for ransom, because her army is her family, and she's only got one of them. Only got one of them. Because what do we think is going to happen if they were to grab Lou? He's already drunk somewhere. He's easy pickings. And what Lou going to say? I ain't got nothing to do with Rock and her business. I ain't. Yeah, but you're her brother. So you're now a victim. So come with us. Meet these demands. Something's bad going to happen to your brother. Put her in a position to either come down from the fight, make a deal, or say, which I think Rock is going to say, kill him. Because if Rock allows them to kill Lou, I think Kanan switches up on him. He's going to hate his mama forever, which he already does, so she's not really losing nothing right there. But Lou getting killed by them would actually be the thing that makes Rock the winner in this situation. That's what I think. If they come after Lou, Ronnie or whoever, if they catch Lou drunk somewhere, slipping, start talking about, hey, do this, do that, or we killing your brother. And she goes, go ahead. Do what you got to do. She knows two things are going to happen. Kanan is going to leave them and trade on them and take them down because family first. I don't care. And Lou and Kanan had a nice relationship. They were tight. Marvin and Kanan got a tight relationship. It's the mama that's the problem. So Kanan will 100% ride for Lou if something happens to him. So she'll win in that because she'll get her son, not back, but off their team. And she'll have an inside person close enough to do the work. Now, what if she lose? A brother, which will be bad for most. But this one happens to be drunk all the time and snitching on theyself. Now, while she's a cold-hearted, terrible mom and just a narcissist, just the worst, maybe killing your own brother is probably even above her. But if somebody else does it, and we just kind of not do nothing about it, right? Like, for instance, all the 9/11 conspiracies, right? There was one that made the most sense, right? There were threats. They knew that planes were crashing into the buildings. And America knew. And it's like, hey, we could believe it, take some precaution, huh? Or if it does happen and we let it happen, kind of gives us an excuse to go over there and get what we really need. Because right now we ain't got a reason to start a war. But if they do that dumb, if they are that dumb, they would open the door for us to go ahead and do what we wanted to do anyway. So some of those, how many eggs am I willing to break to make this omelet? And I think Rock is 100% capable of letting Lou's egg get split and scrambled to make her omelet. That's what I'm thinking. And then she also gets Kanan back. So for the price of one drunk Lou, you'll get Kanan. You'll get Snaps and Pops up out of here. And then you could continue doing your business with no competition. And that's like my ultimate hot take. Like, that's the only thing I see happening. That's the only thing that would make sense. Because, like I said, one of the brothers have to die, Marvin and Lou. And Lou looked like he's shaping himself up to die because it wouldn't matter. If Lou died this episode, like, I don't know. He got drunk, walked down to the street, hit with a BMW, right? Somebody's playing Famous's snitch music and hits him with a car. Or he's got the cassette player in, he's not paying attention. He's listening to that bum-ass Famous track for the 30th time in his Walkman, and he gets hit. Boom, he's gone. What would his death affect in these storylines? Maybe Juke's music career? She's sad. She's going to the army anyway. So who cares? Kanan is going to be like, damn, Lou, you was drunk. Well, time to go keep selling this heroin. Is Marvin going to be like, oh, Lou, I'm still going to sell these drugs and work with my sister. He has no kids he's leaving behind. Lou could, yeah. So that's what makes me think, like, Lou's probably one that's going to die. And Marvin is headed to jail at some point. Because look at poor Marvin. His friend Gerald, he's the one setting him up. That's nasty work. But Marvin is so good that, and you know what? This episode, watching Gerald be found out as the FBI's informant in this whole thing, what I loved about that is I'm thinking back to that episode when Marvin was out on the bench talking to Gerald, just chopping it up. And then here comes this random dude that said, yeah, oh man, you was with, what's her name, right? We was kicking it. And you're like, I don't know you. Like, it's, you got us black people mixed up. That was all a setup. That was a setup. I guarantee probably next episode, like, that dude that asked him questions is probably an FBI agent, a plant acting, and they knew to be there because it was coordinated with Gerald to try to get some information while they sitting on that bench together and not implicating Gerald in this whole thing. That failed, so now it's like, ooh, let me do a report on Juke. Let me get some of the family history. So she recorded her famous song in a place where, you know, hella Italians died. There's a lot of people murdered. You want to speak on Bulletproof? Like, tell me more about Bulletproof. Like, why did that happen? How many people died? Well, what's going on? Right? Because he's... And Marvin has stood sturdy on all things. He ain't say no word. He pretended that dude didn't even exist, whether he knew him or not. He knew one thing. I killed that white lady. And I don't know anything about her. Never seen a day in my life. Don't nobody that ever knew her. Right? Stood on that. Then Gerald over here trying to get this extra information. And Marvin's like, look, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. Ain't got nothing to do with this story. Stay within the lines. Huh? Color within the lines. So Marvin is insulating himself. He's not giving up nothing. And then you couple that with Detective Howard. I'm assuming next episode is about to let Marvin know, like, hey, they own you. And I think they got somebody feeding them information. It's not going to take them long. And Marvin is going to have to do the unspeakable. And that's killing poor Gerald. And I don't know what he's going to do with the little girls. Maybe raise them himself. He's in a zone. He's in a dad zone. Huh? He got Juke together. He's like, hey, I'm feeling good about this. I could start from scratch with these two little white girls. Why not? Why not? I can take these two. They're nice. It'll be a little weird, but I got them. Who knows? But them little girls ain't gonna keep Gerald alive once Marvin finds out. But I think there's still a chance that Marvin is the one that goes to jail. Possibly. But it's nasty work. Kanan, not much from him this episode. Wasn't really much. He had Ronnie press the social services lady. Awkward. And meanwhile, Ronnie is doing his famous lean in and look at you intensely move. And when he does that, you know you're just going to be like, oh, no, I can't do anything. Oh, Kanan, who? No, that case is closed. Shut the door on that. Why don't nobody think nobody going to call the cops? You can't press a socialist, a white woman that works for the government. You just gonna press her, like, case sealed? Like, oh, okay, I'll stay away from him. No, I'm finna call somebody on you. I'm gonna get some other people involved. Somebody gotta know something. Who is Kanan? So, I don't know. Maybe it worked out. I don't know. But, yeah, so it wasn't much from Kanan. He got, like, an audition to see where his head was at, and they, like, snaps pop, like, yep, that's what I'm talking about. Fear and respect, that's right. There's no difference. You need both of them. So, yeah. Other than that, man, Rock is getting herself into another war before she even gets things together. But she did take care of that chick at the store. Went ahead and got the okay from the cousin and didn't waste no time. Went to go find out where Ronnie got them drugs from. Didn't find out from Unique's baby mama. Instead, found out who he was dating. Like, where? Who he dating? Some chick with the... Oh, no. Can't be true. And Rock does what Rock does best. Snitch. Went right to her cousin. Snitched on her. Got the okay. And then had like this cathartic Dexter type conversation with her. Like, look, I'm at peace with who I am. I'm a winner. I'm going to win by any means necessary. You kept trying to mess with me, shorty. Right? You kept picking and picking and picking. You didn't know your place. Now look at you. So she did take out the supplier. So that's just going to halt them for a second. But if anybody knows anything about the late 80s and 90s when it came to drugs, there's so many suppliers of drugs. So she just kind of put a band-aid or like put a little hiccup in that. Kanan will be back. He'll find somebody. And then that dude don't have nobody to sell drugs to either. What if Kanan is the one that goes straight to the cousin to get his work from? It's a possibility. And then Rock is in a real pickle. But we'll see. But she did do that. That was smart. Got Liliana right up out of here. Is that her name? I might just gave her that name. That probably ain't her name. I was doing good up until that moment right there. But anyway, man, that's all I got for this episode. Protect your health, yourself, your wealth, man. Your boy Rel is out of here. Peace.
Yo, I know I don't need no introduction, but y'all know who it is, man. It's your boy Hollywood Rel. And I appreciate you for sliding through and watching these videos. But you know what I need from you? All right, if you ain't already, I need you to like this and subscribe this, man. We at 1,000 trying to get to 2, all right? Push it for your boy. Get them algorithms up. So when it comes to that subscribe button...